All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals. So glad that you're here tonight on a snowy Sunday, next to the last of the month of January. So we're going to praise God together in the teaching of his word, but also in singing. So if I could, please stand with me as we have our scriptural call to worship, and then we will start in singing. Our scriptural call to worship tonight is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. And God says this of Jesus, starting in verse 8. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. But like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity tonight to come and worship you, to come and learn of your word, to come and have our minds not just informed, but transformed. Would you do that for us tonight? Would you please start to scrape away the things and the distractions of our hearts and our minds that are keeping us from fully pursuing you? Lord, we're seeking wisdom as the high school wraps up a study of the wisdom literature in Proverbs. Lord, I just pray that you will give us a heart of wisdom, that we will seek it, and that you will give generously to all without finding fault. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship you tonight. Amen.
God, I thank you for this night, and I thank you that we can praise you, Lord. I thank you for this time that you've given us to worship you, and I just pray that we use the rest of this night to our advantage, Lord, and that we would grow closer to you and grow closer to one another in fellowship, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start a game. Everybody stand up. Okay. So last week we played a game. So The next slide that's going to come up is going to have the picture divided into 9 segments. I almost said quadrants, but it'll be divided into 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And once you spot Bernie, you are going to go to the corresponding number around the room. All right. If you are like one of the last people, then you'll just be out for that round, and then we'll just kind of whittle it down. And there is a point to all of this, trust me. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Please be kind and considerate. Don't run over my wife. All right. Thank you. Oh,
three.
Adi's the winner! I am way impressed. All right. So, Ani, how did you get so good at spotting stuff? What made it, what was your key to victory on spotting Bernie and all these different slides?
I was born with it.
You were born with this. Weren't you the same one that like used to say like, "I just win, that's what I do." Yeah. That's what I do. All right. Okay, guys. So tonight we're gonna talk about, she was able to recognize, you know, Bernie because she's just born with that gift, okay? Whether it's Where's Waldo or whatever it might be. But tonight we're going to talk about another type of recognition, okay? Sometimes it can feel like those who are faithful in walking with God are not recognized by the world around us. Frankly, that's okay sometimes. But tonight we're going to examine Proverbs 31. So if you brought a Bible, and I hope that you did, I'd invite you to open to Proverbs 31. Because we're going to see that our God always recognizes the faithfulness of his people, whether or not the world around us does. God recognizes those who faithfully demonstrate his wisdom in their lives. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for tonight. We do pray for Brady, that the interview continues to go well, should that be your will for how you want to use him in ministry. Lord, I pray for Nate's sister, Abby, that your miraculous hand would be upon her and that you could provide healing that we can't see as possible, but we know you're able to do far more abundantly than we could ask or think. Lord, there are so many around us that are sick and hurting, whether it be physically or spiritually. And so, Lord, we pray for your healing hand, especially on the hearts of those who do not yet know you as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the day of their salvation, that they will not wait any longer, that they will understand their position in eternity as separated from you, that their sin, the only way for that forgiveness of sin is through the shed blood of Jesus. And Lord, we're thankful for that free gift of salvation, that if we just believe and receive that, that we can have eternal life. So Lord, we're thankful that we can spend our lives serving you, knowing you, and loving you. Lord, we await the day that you return to take your children to heaven. And until that day comes, Lord, I pray that we be found faithful in service of your kingdom. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, guys. So I want a couple examples of you guys who were recognized for something good that you did. Was there a time in the last few years that you did something and you got some accolades, or you were acknowledged for something good that you did? Don't be bashful. This is a time where you can actually brag. Mara.
One time my mom was doing a swimming lesson and she almost had a huge jump in without food. I kind of had to retrieve that.
And then the parents? Okay, good. Okay, so she saved a two-year-old's life. Well, I mean, if you weren't there, it could have died. Okay, that was something. So how were you recognized for that?
A hug.
Okay, cool. Hey, hugs are sometimes the best recognition you can get. What else, guys? A time that you might have been recognized. Will you please tell me? Weren't you recognized for soccer? What were you recognized for, Maddie?
All conference.
And what was the special you had more than anyone else in this certain area?
37 fouls on the year.
She had 37 fouls on the year. That's a great recognition, folks. All right, you got fouls to use. You might as well use them. All right. So point of the story is, oh man, one of my favorite times playing Ultimate with Maddie, she got like tackled by one of you guys. I mean, it was totally a foul. But like Maddie's like, he earned it. Like, she's like, and she just went out and laid him out the next play. So it was pretty impressive. Anybody else get recognized for something? Something good that you did. That wasn't something good that you did, but it was still good recognition. You were still all conference. Yes, Ani.
I won Student of the Month.
You won Student of the Month at Paul Mitchell? I was going to say at homeschool, that's kind of easy to do, right? But at Paul Mitchell. So what did you do to earn Student of the Month at Paul Mitchell?
I was a good student.
You were a good student? Did you give like a really good haircut or?
No.
Okay, all right. Recognize the student of the month. I was one time employee of the month at Staples. It's my claim to fame in high school. Yeah. There's another time at the bank that I worked at. I got to be a captain of a. It was like a track and field day for adults. It was totally my gig, and we did really well one year. So they decided to give me this really cool fancy trophy, and that was kind of acknowledgement, which later then developed into a platform where I got to speak in front of the entire bank on an annual basis in my last year, right before we thought we were going to become missionaries in Uganda. I'm like, I got nothing to lose. So I totally shared the gospel that night in front of the whole group, and the CEO calls me into his office the next day. He says, AJ, I just want to let you know, there was a little bit of religious undertones in your message. I'm like, yeah, I know. That was the point, right? He's like, well, just next time, I'm getting a few people that were mentioning things to me. Just tone it down next time. I said, I was thinking, there's not going to be a next time. We're going to be in Uganda 6 months from now. But alas, we're here. So, all right. So it feels good sometimes to be recognized for the good and the hard work that you do. Sometimes things go unnoticed, and that can be troubling for many of us. But obviously, we shouldn't do things merely so that others recognize us. Today, we're going to unpack Proverbs 31 and what it talks about faithful wives, okay? We'll be reminded that our God does not overlook the faithful actions of his people. So in fact, Proverbs 31 reminds us that God honors those who are faithful to him and uses them to set an example for others of what it looks like to follow him and to walk in wisdom. So tonight, Lemuel is going to use the example of a godly wife to show how wisdom, walking in wisdom, can impact our lives. And how God recognizes those people who faithfully demonstrate his wisdom. So I didn't ask the guys ahead of time, but some of my guy leaders, could I have you come up, Scott, David, would you guys come up here? And if you have a Bible, I'm going to have you guys read Proverbs 31. And okay, Scott and Bryce, would you come up? And anybody that's got a spouse here with them? Ron, will you come up here? Nate, will you mind coming up here? Annie, I know you've got a great spouse. She's just not here. That's okay. We'll just do this because this will just work. Okay. So I'm going to start. We're going to read Proverbs 31, and we're going to read verses 10 through 31. Okay? And so what I'm going to ask, Ron, I'm going to ask you to read, how many verses is that? That's 21 verses. I've got how many people? I can't do the math that quickly. Would you read like 5 or 6 verses and then just pass the mic to the next person?
Yep, the words of King Renewal.
So Proverbs 31, okay, 4. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, and we are going to read about a woman who fears the Lord.
Okay, verse 10, it says, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her mates.
She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle.
She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Thank you. All right, guys. Thanks for reading that. I was contemplating what to do. Every week I read these scriptures to you, but I wanted to have these guys come up tonight because this is a great passage that shows appreciation towards godly women. And we've got a lot of great godly women that serve in and around this church, particularly in this youth ministry. And many of them are the wives of those people that are working here. And to that end, I am so thankful for the example that the gals have as their small group leaders. And I pray that tonight, as we look at this passage, that many of you women, young women, will look at, okay, this is maybe something that I want to grow up into becoming. I want to be that Proverbs 31 woman. And for you guys, I want you guys to start thinking what I should be looking for in a godly woman. And so that's part of the undertones of what I hope that you guys get out of tonight. But anyway, that's thanks for reading, guys. So Lemuel, all right, if you look back at the beginning of chapter 31, it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So the way that Lemuel speaks of marriage reminds us of its value. In a world where so many marriages end in divorce, Proverbs 31 reminds us that marriage is a gift from God. And when Lemuel highlights the gift that godly wives are to their husbands, the reverse is true as well. Godly spouses are one of God's greatest, most kind gifts to his people. And sadly, our culture, or maybe even some of you, might be tempted to think that marriage is restrictive or unnecessary. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that you see the blessing that comes with God-centered marriages. In contrast, these verses remind us that when we humbly look for God for wisdom, look to God for wisdom, he promises that marriage will lead to our good. Now, that's not to say that everyone should get married, right? We see in 1 Corinthians 7, 9 that Paul talks about singleness as a gift that can lead to greater opportunities for ministry. 1 Corinthians 7, 6 through 9 says, "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." So singleness, marriage, God certainly has already knows where you're going to land when it comes to that. But singleness is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be used for great good for God's kingdom. And so can marriage. So what is important for us to note here in Proverbs, however, is that our God recognizes and honors faithful wives. So I want to challenge you to consider your view of marriage and how the culture around you may be influencing your thinking. Okay? It's important to remember that while we live in a culture that often does not value or honor marriage, marriage between a man and a woman is a good gift. And that's a good gift that should be of God, that should be honored and should be protected. So let me give you some statistics. I like statistics. Marriage is less popular today in America than ever before. The Pew Research Center reports that only about 50% of Americans over the age of 18 are married. You're thinking, well, why is that surprising? Well, in 1960, it used to be 72%. So that's down 22% over the last 60 years. The age at which Americans get married is at an all-time high. 14% of adults say they don't plan to marry at all, and 27% of them are still undecided. Today, 50% of marriages in the United States will end in divorce or are ending in divorce. Marriage is not commanded for all people in Scripture. But in contrast to these statistics, the Bible speaks of marriage as a gift of God, and godly spouses is valuable beyond all comparison. So, what can we learn? Let me reread verses 10 through 12, and I want to ask the question of what can we learn? Here we go. What can we learn from these verses about what we should value? Okay, verse 10 through 12. "An excellent life, a wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life." Lemuel characterized an excellent wife as one who has gained the trust of her husband. This kind of familial and relational trust begins with recognizing the inestimable value of a godly woman. Lemuel's question, "Who can find a wife of noble character?" It implies that finding a wife of noble character is a rarity. It's not easy to find. And so further, Lemuel argued that finding a woman of noble character is far more precious than jewels. So recognizing this great value of a godly woman is critical to the success of a marriage that is built on mutual love and respect. So just as a successful, God-glorifying marriage requires the humble servant leadership of a godly husband, so too it also requires the character and commitment of a godly woman. So because of a godly wife's commitment to her marriage and to her husband, he will not lack anything that's good. The Hebrew word translated anything good here brings to mind that the plunder of a victorious army, right? That they would bring home after battle. Imagine the joyful surprise of the faces of everyone back home when the army comes back and they bring all this plunder from the defeated and fallen army, and they see these treasures they now behold. This is the same as the husband of a noble woman who enjoys that kind of surprise when he sees her and sees what she's able to bring into his life. The value of a godly woman is not measured in terms of worldly success, but in terms of her godly character. And I hope that tonight, and again in small groups, we have lots of things to discuss. But I do hope that this is something that you're able to talk about marriages and the importance of how a blessing that your spouse has been in your life. Maybe your parents have been a great example to you, or maybe your small group leaders can elaborate on that a little bit more. But as we go into verses 13 through 16, it says, she seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. All right, so guys, look at this with me, and this is not a rhetorical question. What are some of the things that a wife of noble character does? What does she do here? What do we see in verses 13 through 16? Yes, Caroline. She provides for her household. What else do we see? Yes, Hannah. She works hard. That's right. What else? Yes, Max. She's confident. Good, good. These are all great things. Lemuel pointed to the intelligence and ingenuity, the business skill, the entrepreneurial spirit, and the wise decision-making of the wife who wisely provides for the needs of her family. She selects wool and flax. I mean, she's engaged in the economy, and she knew and selected and purchased the commodities for her family. She knew what these items would cost and how they benefited her family. She works with willing hands, not begrudgingly, as if she was doing what she was doing for her family must be tolerated and endured so that she can get to the really important stuff according to the world standards. She's not just working so that she can do that. She's working for her family. She is like the merchant ships who bring the food from far away. Lemuel pictured a godly woman as one seeking out resources necessary for her family. She's not idle. She's not lazy. She rises when it's still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She rises early, works hard, and manages other people. She earned money. She invested wisely what she made, and those things benefited her family. So Lemuel speaks of faithful wives as people who think wisely about how to best provide for the needs of their families. He highlights the sacrifice of the time and the energy that the faithful wives bring to their families. Many of these sacrifices are the kinds that might go unnoticed by the world around us, but they don't go unnoticed by God. And that's the big point for tonight. He recognizes that those who faithfully demonstrate his wisdom in their lives, in fact, God's recognition of the efforts of faithful wives is demonstrated by the fact that they are here highlighted as an example for all of us of what it looks like to live wisely before God. Did you guys catch that? The recognition of and the efforts of a faithful wife is demonstrated. God's recognizing that by putting that right here as an example for us, both men and women. So again, in your small groups tonight, I want you to discuss question number 6 about how you might use your gifts and privileges or strengths to serve others as this godly wife was doing. All right, in verse 23, we're going to skip down to 23. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. All right, city gates, guys. City gates served as the location where men would gather and tend to business issues or other legal matters. So the husband of a woman of noble character would have a really good reputation here. Because of his wife, he would be considered one of the wisest elders of the city, of whom everyone would respect. So a godly woman is a great benefit to her husband. The foundation of her behavior is identified in verse 25. It talks about strength and honor are her clothing. Rather than just being defined by the beauty of her clothing, though she may dress stylishly, she is clothed with things that never go out of style: strength, honor, and dignity. So a godly woman is ready for the future because she has planned for it, and so she can laugh at the time to come. She has a good reputation. Lemuel described the excellent wife as carrying influence in the community out of the respect for her character. So those who humble themselves before God and look to him for wisdom in how they live will often gain the respect and admiration of the people around them because of their hard work, because of your high level of character and your willingness to serve others. Lemuel also emphasized that an excellent wife spoke and taught wisdom. So what this means is one of the greatest tools that we all possess is our words. Our words have great power to worship God and to serve our neighbors. So I want to challenge you again to consider how you might use your words to love and serve others and point them to Christ. Verse 26, she says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. We can learn so much from her in 26 about how we should speak to others. Lemuel recognized that a godly woman was a teacher and speaking wisdom and giving instruction to all within her sphere of influence. She carefully watched over other activities of her household, and she was never idle. It is this kind of woman who builds up her husband, blesses her children, and benefits everyone around her with wisdom. And even benefiting the whole of God's people. So conduct is one thing, but character is quite another. Okay, Lemuel's description of a godly woman is grounded in the truth that right conduct only comes out of godly character. So as we close, we're going to read verses 28 through 31. And the non-rhetorical question is, what do the people that are closest to the wise woman say about her? So that's what I want you guys to give me some feedback after we read verses 28 through 31. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. What do those people closest to her say about her? John. They call her blessed. They praise her. There's so many things. Lemuel noted that an excellent wife will be honored in a variety of ways, but I'm going to focus on six, okay? First, she's honored by who? Her children. A mother is blessed when her children bless her. Verse 28 reflects the sixth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The second way is that she is praised by her husband. To lead and love one's wife does not mean to be domineering or overbearing. This is not true spiritual leadership. Instead, a husband honors his wife as he loves and covers her and protects her and appreciates and applauds all of the hard work that she does. The third way that she is honored is when others recognize her as valuable. Sometimes a woman may look at her works as tedious or unimportant. However, from the most important to what may be perceived as the least important of her activities, the work of a godly woman is to be praised. Fourth, she is honored by the recognition of the nature of true beauty. Okay, many people place too much emphasis on physical beauty as the only mark of a beautiful woman. And that is just not true. Seeking and maintaining a person's physical presentation has limited benefits. Physical appearance and good health is valuable, but godliness is better and is more lasting. So fifth, she is honored when she is praised because she fears the Lord. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7, then a woman who fears the Lord will not only live wisely, but will gain the approval of other wise and godly people. And finally, sixth, she is honored both privately and publicly, her recognition of her wise behavior. Lemuel was wise enough to know that many people honor all of the wrong things, worldly success, physical beauty, financial achievements. But God honors the godly, the honorable, and a dignified way of living that is exhibited in the life of a God-fearing woman. So we are to honor what God honors, a godly woman who fears the Lord. So what? So what? How do we wrap this up? How do we make this applicable to everyone in here? If you're not, you're a guy and you're thinking, okay, I get what I should be looking for in a woman, but what do I do now? I'm not dating yet. I'm not looking to date. But what should I do? Well, think about the messages that you guys are surrounded with, whether it's on television or movies or social media, that encourage you to define yourself by your looks. So like the most popular Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest accounts are constantly sending us this message that being attractive is the key to success. or the key to popularity, or even the key to wealth. This is not just true for young women, but also for young men as well. Young women are encouraged to maintain a body shape that is impossible for most. Young men are encouraged to be fit and muscular. Both are sent the message that they should keep up with the latest fashion trends. These messages lead many young people to live selfishly, or even to hate themselves and to hate their bodies. Your bodies, which were created by God, and calls us to respect and to honor those bodies. In contrast to such thinking, Lemuel reminds us that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, meaning neither follows through on the joy and fulfillment that they try to promise. Fearing the Lord, however, does follow through, as it leads us closer and closer to God, who made us for a relationship with himself. So fearing God helps us to live with an appropriate self-confidence and a healthy self-image. Those who fear God know that they are loved and they're valued by him, that he has given them a good and a holy purpose to live for. And so I hope you see in and through the lives of our culture tonight and see with wisdom, as you seek wisdom from God, what he truly values as important and someone whose heart is set and their gaze is set upon him, because God will recognize that. So let me pray as we close, and we'll head actually back to Kids Central for one more activity before heading into small groups. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to look at Proverbs 31 to see an example of a godly woman who loves and fears you and serves her family and has truly put the needs of others before her own. So Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to do likewise, that we will look to serve the interests of those around us, to faithfully to serve them, to seek your will, and to live for that each and every day. Lord, will you be with us in our small groups as we begin the conversation of how to defend our faith, also talking through Proverbs 31. Lord, I pray that you stir up in our hearts a need for conversation tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Amen.